January.
Yes.
Remy's being like, early January.
Used to be
14th season. Used to be last playoff.
Oh, used to be there. Used to be
and there was no postseason game.
And there was no, right. There was no,
and there was not postseason. There were no, you
oh, put no playoffs.
After, we'll work backwards this week. This week's parasha is Parashas Yisroi, Perek Chof, right at the end of the parasha by Maftir. We're taught after the Aseres HaDibros a bunch of dinim. One of them is Loisasen Iti Elehei Chesef Velehezov Loisasen Lochem. Rashi explains, what does it mean, don't make gods of silver? Is warning us not to make the kruvim out of silver. And if you do, that's like avodah zarah. There's another din mentioned. Lo sivne esen gozis. Don't make the mizbech of hewn stones. Meaning, don't use a knife on the mizbech. Don't use metal, barazil. Because the metal shortens the days of a person. And the mizbech is to lengthen the days of a person. Another din, it says, don't go up to Mizbeach with steps. Don't make Mizbeach with steps going up to it. That's Gilu Erva. And Rashi explains, because when you go up steps, what you're wearing moves up a little bit more. So it's not really uncovering yourself, and the Kohenim are wearing pants as well, but it's somehow like Gilu Erva, so you don't have steps on Mizbeach. These three deen are very interesting, as the Maramis to the three cardinal sins. It says, this is Gilu Erva, Gilu Arroyas. Going up the steps to Mizbeach, and you uncover yourself a little bit, is Gilu Erva. The Barazel, that's Ritzicha, killing, Shvichas Domim, don't use metal on the Mizbeach. And Loisaz Iti Lehe Chesef, not to make the Kruvim out of Kesef, Rashi said, if you make them out of metal, if you make them out of silver, that's like Avodah Zarah. So why is he telling you these dinim now? Is because you've just learned the Aseres HaDibros. You've learned halachas. You might think that these halachas, Zevi, are halachas which are, what you see is what you get. It's not. It's much more than that. There is not just the letter of the law, there's the spirit of the law. And you see how extreme it goes. Because we're saying what's called Shvichas Domim. Using metal mizbech, that's already Sama Shvichas Domim. This is called Gilu Erva. Making steps to the Mizbeach. Making a kruvim l'shem shemai v'akodesh baruch hu, that would be called avodah zarah. How deep the mitzvahs go. So it's giving you an idea. Don't just look at the surface of the mitzvah. You have to realize there's much more to it than you see. The last of the Aseres HaDibros, loy sachmoid, is very difficult to understand. And the Ibn Ezra over here, he asks the kasha, anoshim rabim yismu. Many wonder, al zoysa mitzvah, how can you be told not to be jealous? Eich yige odam, how is there a person, shlo yachmid dover yofa beliboy? He doesn't desire, he sees something geschmack and he wants it. Kol mashu nechmod lemare, what is a geschmack to look at? So he explains, how is it shaykh not to be over lo yisachmoid? It's natural, and as soon as you've seen it, you want it, you've already been over, too late already. So well, how is it possible? So he explains with a moshul. And we'll do a more contemporary moshul. Imagine a guy comes out this morning, a nice snowy day. Yeshivish guy comes out and he starts his car. It doesn't start. So he needs to get Chaverim to come and give him a boost, get the engine going. Meanwhile, he looks down the road and he sees his neighbor jumps into his car and takes off right away. So he's jealous of that. His neighbor doesn't have to get a boost. He can just start. Not only that, his car has all different colors. You know, he's got the door is one color. And even to open the door, he's got to like open the window to be able to open the handle of his door. It's not so simple, everything. So he's jealous. He'd like to have car one color all around, not all smashed in. The black light, the back light shouldn't be a piece of red paper covering the bulb. So he's jealous. The guy who's driving this car just took off right away, who he was jealous of. He's driving this five-year-old Corolla. He looks down the road, and he sees somebody who has a five-year-old Camry. And he thinks to himself, wow, Corolla's like a little cramped, a little box. He'd like a Camry. The one with the Camry looks down the road, and he says, this five-year-old Camry, you know, I have problems with it sometimes. I've got to give it into the shop. You know, I'd like, it'd be nice to have a car, like just a year-old car. And the one with the year-old car has just bought a car, a year-old. One time is, I'd love to buy a car brand new. That smell of the new car, it's like a schmucker smell. And the one who's got the new Camry, he looks down the road and he sees the guy with the Avalon. That's already about a buttish car. And the Avalon sees the Lexus. Each one is jealous of the person above him. The person who's driving the Shivish car doesn't say, I want that Lexus. It doesn't cross his mind. That's not what he's looking for. It's beyond him completely. So what do you see from this? You see that something which is completely beyond you, you're not jealous of that at all. So you see it's shaykh. You've got to be able to look at everybody else's property, everything else another person has. It's got no shaykhs to you. It's something you can't relate to at all. It's like the Shivisha guy with a Lexus. You see it is possible, as long as you look at other people's things like that. So it is possible to control your feelings. There's a story of there was a Choshver Rebbetzin who was nifta on a Friday afternoon. I think his name was Rebbetzin Eisenman. She was nifta on a Friday afternoon. The Chevra Kedisha came. There wasn't time to make the kavura. They'll put her in a refrigerator in the morgue to keep the body refrigerated. It was 90 degrees outside. The body shouldn't rot and smell over Shabbos. So they came to the house, and the husband says, you can leave the body. After Shabbos, you'll come and take the body. They said, no, we want to take now. He wouldn't let them, and they didn't understand. They thought it's very strange, and it's going to make them a lot of problems dealing afterwards, cleaning up the body after Shabbos, and the smell of the body afterwards in 90 degrees, leaving the dead body. But he insisted, there wasn't time, it was before Shabbos. They couldn't argue with him, they had to leave. They came back once to Shabbos, and the body was perfect. Nothing had happened, there was no smell, hadn't rotted at all. And they couldn't understand how this is possible in the tremendous heat there was. So they said to him, how did you know this was going to happen? Obviously, he knew something they didn't know. So he said that it was once Parshas Yisro, and he was discussing with his wife the Is of Loi Sachmoid, not to be jealous. And she said, like, what does it mean? So he said, you know, somebody has something and you want it. So she said, but I don't understand it. If it's somebody else's, why would you want it? It's theirs. He says, yeah, but you'd like to have that thing. She couldn't relate to that. And he says, for an hour he tried to explain to her what it means to be jealous, and she just didn't understand. You have what you have, they have what they have. How could you be jealous of somebody else? She couldn't relate to it. So he says he understood. Someone like that. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Rekev Atzomos, the rotting of the bones, is kin as jealousy. Pasuk says, the body rots from jealousy. Mi sheyesh lo kino atzmos of markivin. Somebody has jealousy, his bones rot. You don't have jealousy, your bones don't rot. He knew someone like that, the body is going to remain whole. And kachav. So that's one way of understanding the Ibn Ezra's way of Loi Sachmoid. Another way of understanding Loi Sachmoid is the Beis Halevi. He also says a moshul. He says, how could you control Loi Sachmoid, not to be jealous? So he says a moshul like this. Again, we'll change it slightly in the moshul. Imagine a person is on his way to do a chet. And on the way to the chet, he's very excited, he's waiting for this chet. He's going across one of these rope bridges between two mountains, has these wooden slats and ropes on the side, it's hanging between the mountains. And he's walking across this bridge on his way to the chet, all excited. And as he's walking across, all of a sudden he has a little twang, and he sees that it's made of thick ropes. You know, there's four thick ropes holding up the bridge. And one of them, some of the little strings have snapped. Few of them. So he hurries up his steps. And then he hears more twang, twang, twang. And he sees more of it. The rope is breaking. He starts running. All of a sudden he sees the whole rope is about to collapse. And then it did. The bridge is now hanging by three ropes. One corner has come off. And he's like trying to hold onto the side and running to the end of the bridge. At that moment, what are the chances of him thinking how excited he is to do this chet? He's going to the chet. He's completely forgotten about the chet. All he's worried about now is survival. So the Beis Halevi says, somebody has a feeling of jealousy. You're right. Impossible. You can't control it. But that's only before the Torah gave an einish for it. Once it's us and there's an einish, you're going to get Gehenna for it. You're hanging above a flame. Imagine you're hanging above a pot of water, just bubbling, and you're going to drop into that water. So how can you think of the chet now? You're so scared of the einish. Now it's possible not to be jealous, because the einish scares you off it so much. There's an interesting Sfasemis. He says, in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk says, Koy soymel aveis Yaakov. So you should say to Beis Yaakov, V'sagid and tell of Nei Yisrael. Rashi says, there's a different lashon of Amira by the women and by the men. But Beis Yaakov it says, Koy soymer, Amira. Amira is a lashon raka. Gently, softly. Tell the women in a nice, gentle way. V'sagid livnei Yisrael means, lashon hagoda is a lashon of Koshin Kegidin, means harshly. Tell them in a more harsh way. So, the men and women are told this more soft way, they're emotionally understand, the men are told this more harsh way. The difficulty with that is, you get to the end, a couple of psukim later, and the Pasuk says, Eile hadvorim asher tedaber el b'nei Yisrael. And Rashi says, Eile hadvorim, loy poches v'lo yoyser. No less and no more. Meaning, Moshe was given an exact script what to say. So how could the Pasuk say, tell the women gently and the men harshly, when you're given a script word for word? You're telling the men and the women exactly the same thing. Says the Sfasemis, yes, Moshe is telling them the same thing. Nevertheless, to the women it's soft and to the men it's harsh. Why? Because two people can hear exactly the same thing and they hear it differently. For instance, imagine you are told you have a weekend off next Shabbos. So some kids, they hear that, they jump for joy. Baruch Hashem, weekend off, vacation. And there's some, Bachrim will say, oi, what's going to be with the learning? It bothers them. The bittul Torah involved. How am I going to keep up with this dorim? I want to finish certain things, I'm not going to make it. Well, why do we have to have a weekend off now? Couldn't they delay it for another few weeks? I'm sure people come to you like
all
that.
Time.
All the time, yeah. They want to delay. It's not time yet for a weekend off. Especially this time. It's only 3 weeks since the last weekend off. It makes no sense now. I'm not ready. I don't feel ready yet. Don't you feel like that? So, again, and then there's other Bachram who feel, why did we have to wait 3 weeks? I was ready last week already. So you're told exactly the same thing, and people hear it differently. The women heard the same words as the men. You should be feeling a mamleches kainim v'goy kodesh. You're going to be a mamleches kainim. You're going to be such special people. And the women hear that, they're so excited. They hear an amira rakas, geshmak, it's off, wow, what we're going to be zeicher to. And the men hear, the oinshim, all the punishment, the isurim, the azhoras. That's what the men hear. They're both told the same thing, but they hear it differently. There's a Maisa with Rav Moshe, because we have in this week's parasha Kibbutz, just a Maisa with Rav Moshe. There was a Bacha in his yeshiva who wanted to learn in Beis Medrash, and his parents insisted he goes to college. So the Bacha spoke to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said, I'll speak to your parents. So he said, I'm warning you, my father is a professor in college himself, is a math professor, and by him college is the most important thing. You're not going to be able to convince him. Rav Moshe says, I want to try. So Rav Moshe arranges to meet the parents. So the father tells him, I understand you want him to sit and learn. I understand that, he said. But you have to remember, the Gemara Kedushin says, Shloisha Shutfim Ba'odom. There are three partners in a person. The father, the mother, and the Rabbeinu Shloilem. I want him to go to college. My wife wants him to go to college. The Ribbono Shel'Olam's vote, you're telling me, is wants him to learn. So we go after the majority. We win out, he goes to college. It's only fair, it's only right. Rav Moshe says, no, your math calculation is not correct. Let's do the math again. Says, father, he's a math professor, no problem. You tell me the math. He says, okay. He says, the son is made up of the father, the mother, and the Ribbono Shel'Olam. So it comes out, let's look at the boy. In him, there's 9/9. There's one person, 9/9. 3/9 from the father, 3/9 from the mother, and 3/9 is the Ribbono Shleilam. So the 3/9 of the Ribbono Shleilam, right? Wants him to stay, sit and learn. Now in the father, there's 3/9 of the father. Of that 3/9 of the father is made up of three parts too. One part is the Ribbono Shleilam, and two parts is his father and mother. The mother is made up of three parts. One part is the Ribbono Shleilam, two parts the father and mother. So a third of the father and a third of the mother wants him also to sit and learn. So it comes out, if you take a third of the father and a third of the mother, that comes out, adds 2 more 9ths. 5/9 of the boy want him to sit and learn. So, even according to your cheshbonos, it makes sense he sits and learns. Like, it wouldn't be a good story if he didn't go and sit and learn. In this week's parasha, Rashi tells us, right at the beginning, the first Rashi, why Yisrael, the reasons for all of Yisrael's names. One of them is a lashon of Yeser, that a parasha was added to the Torah because of Yisrael, a lashon of extra, one extra parasha. Rashi says, what was the extra parasha added to the Torah? The parasha was Atosechzeh, where he advised Moshe to get judges, to appoint judges in Klal Yisrael. So he goes, given the name Yisrael. Moshe Sternbuch in his Sefer brings down from one of the Ger Rebbes, I don't remember which one, that asked the Kasha, Rashi says, which parasha was added to the Torah because of Yisrael? The Ato Secheze. The parasha of the judges doesn't begin with the words of Ato Secheze. That means you shall choose judges. The parasha begins, Yisrael comes to Moshe, and he says to Moshe, here's the beginning of the parasha. He says, it's not good what you're doing. Novel Tibble is too difficult for you. And then he tells Moshe, what you have to do is make judges. So why does Rashi choose the words? Yisrael had a parasha out of the Torah because of him, and choose words from the middle of the parasha and not the beginning of the parasha. So he explains very simply. The beginning, he wasn't giving Yisrael advice. What was he doing at the beginning? He was criticizing. Loi toiv hadov eshatoiz. It's not good what you're doing. This is no good. That's no good. Criticizing. That doesn't help. That we don't look as a great thing that he criticized. When he came up with constructive criticism, he came up with ideas. He tells Moshe, "Atah secheze, this is what you should do, pick judges." Oh, that parasha he added to the Torah. Criticize, anybody could do. And this also sometimes was zoich in the yeshiva here, that people come, they criticize a lot of things, be it when the weekend off is, the food, we eat the food. There's always complaints about something. We don't get enough time for breakfast. Well, I guess probably some bochum complain. We don't get enough time to learn, I'm sure they get that too. But to criticize is easy. You've got to have something constructive to say that makes sense. Okay, good Shabbos.
I know we all know.